Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. You heard of A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens? Well, today we're going to talk about A Tale of Two Natures by God. Because the Bible teaches us that inside each of us as Christians, we have two different natures, two different selves. The one who is good, and the one who is evil. And the two fight it out. Let me see if I can show that to you. Very simply, to start out here in the Scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this to us, verse 22 and following, "Put off your old nature, and which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, he wouldn't say that unless we have two different natures. We have the old one that we inherited from Adam, the sinful, corrupt, evil one that is easily allured by sin, loves lies, goes after them, is corrupt, and seeks after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then we have the new nature, born and inherited in us through Christ, the one that seeks all things that are good, that is holy, and is made after the image of God. Have you felt that old nature at work inside of you? Like a magnet trying to draw you to things that are wrong? Have you had times in your life where you think, I've been in the Christian faith for decades now. Why do I still struggle so? The old nature. Are we ever going to get rid of it? How do we understand these two natures inside of us? And what is the hope for victory that God gives us in His Word? Today He'll speak to us through His Scriptures, that we may better understand what's going on inside each one of us when we have this inner turmoil and we think, I should be better by now than I am now, after all these years. But He'll teach us about the old nature and the new nature and how we are to live in that new nature that we have in Christ. So let's talk about that today, A Tale of Two Natures by God. So the first thing God would say to us today is that we need to understand, recognize, and acknowledge that inside of us, we do have an evil side to ourselves. We come to church, we look pretty nice today. Y'all are looking great. But inside each of us, you know that there's something in you that is easily drawn to things dark and wrong. Otherwise, why would the temptations be so strong upon you? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to get through the television and the world and conversations and music of the world that all seem to draw you to the attraction of things ungodly. Well, we do have this evil nature. It delights in sin. There is an old side of us that loves these kinds of things, and it is corrupt. It'll love to hold on to a grudge. You find it sometimes hard to forgive? Well, there is a grudge. The old nature loves grudges. It loves lies. It loves the lust of the flesh. It loves the pride of life. It loves all things fanciful in this world rather than the world to come. Now, what I'm preaching to you right now is a whole lot different from what the world teaches, right? I'm telling you, first of all, you got a sinful nature. And the world says, no, the new teaching in the world today is we're all essentially good. You heard that? Anybody watched Oprah Winfrey lately? Yeah, you'll probably hear something along those lines. Deepak Chopra, whom she has on there, who teaches that there's an inner God's an embryo waiting inside of us, ready just to be known and materialize. Yes, you're essentially good. How about the precious self-esteem? We can't even mark a red X on a child's paper anymore in school in certain places of our country because it'll hurt their precious self-esteem. We're going to build you up as good. The problem is that the first thing before we can get to good has got to be that we realize what God has declared about us is that there is evil inside of man. Otherwise, if we were good, why did Christ have to come to save us? Right? But Jesus actually says in Matthew 12, 33, how can you speak good when you're evil? And Jeremiah 13, 23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also who can do good, who are accustomed to doing evil. In other words, we are entirely corrupt. How did we get this way? Let's understand that. When God first made us in Genesis chapter 1, He didn't create us this way. It started out good. And God made the beasts of the earth, etc. God saw it was good. Then is what does He say? Verse 26, let's make man in our, what?
Image.
In the after our likeness. The Trinity speaking here. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And so, we were originally made like father, like son. You've heard that expression? Well, the Father created the Son, Adam, in a sense. He made him, and he was to bear the image of his Father. Righteousness, holiness, compassion, kindness, seeking after God's Word, loving those things that are good. But then, as you know, shortly thereafter, Genesis 3, ate of the fruit of the tree, disobeyed God, and it says in Romans chapter 5, the following words. Man, you know, some weeks I have so many little stickers in here. That's all right. We don't have communion. We're going to go on for a little while today. Therefore, sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all men sinned. There's not a person in this room, no matter how nice, quaint, and simple, and good you are, or that you do not have a sinful, evil nature also inside of you. For in Psalm 14, yet another sticker says this, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike corrupt. There is none that does good. No, not even one. Corrupt. Not good. Evil nature. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Even from birth, we've had a dark side. And I want to ask you right now, do you feel that tugging on you sometimes? Do you feel the inner turmoil drawing you to things dark and wrong? Even Paul said in Romans chapter 7, when I want to do the right thing, evil lies close at hand. I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members, in my body, another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin. Wretched man that I am, he feels. Do you feel like that sometimes? Oh, okay, I'm a Christian for decades now. Why am I not rid of all this stuff? The answer is because it's going to still dwell in your flesh. We'll talk about that more in a moment. The problem with us then, God gave all these words in the Old Testament, all these laws, they couldn't keep them. Why? How can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil? The problem with humanity is this, right here, the human heart. That's really where it starts. You could try to control the outward behavior, but it's the inner nature that really drives it. That's why God says this. He gave us a great promise in Ezekiel chapter 36. He says, for I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the countries, and bring you to your own land. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart, watch this, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I'll take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Isn't that a great word? If it were not for that word and that promise, we'd be all sunk. We'd be, forget it, in no man's land forever. But God has promised of a day in the old days when He'd come and put into your heart and into your heart and into your heart and into my heart something new, a new spirit. And guess whose spirit it is? God's own spirit. Remember, like father, like son? What did Jesus say of the old nature? He spoke of the Jews and they were not believing Him. And He says, where is this? You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. And the world, when they followed the devil, got a new image, didn't they? You look like the image of the one you follow, which is the devil, Jesus said. It's not God's image, it's lost. You followed the devil, you got his image. But God has promised a day where He'd come and put inside each one of your hearts a new image again. a new one, that is my own image, he says. Like father, like son, I will birth you once more by the Spirit. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he puts inside of us a new heart. Don't you want that today? Well, this is what God has indeed given us in Christ. Let's take a look at that. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, unless you be born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to be born in baptism. We need to be born in faith. For all who received him got the power to become children of God. And there is something good inside you now. That's why in the same letter of Romans, he can say, there's none that does good, no, not one. And later on, he says, I see that you're all full of goodness. What? Wait a second. You have nothing good in you. No one's good. And yet later on you say, Paul, I see you're full of goodness. What's going on? Well, what's going on is you have an evil nature inside of you, but God has birthed in you by baptism a new nature after the likeness of your Father in heaven. That's good and does seek good things. Peter says the same thing in his letter. He says, and it's not in here, but I have, oh, it is. What do you know? Okay. Have it in my mind anyway. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he's granted to us his precious and varied promises, that through these you may escape the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. And John says the same thing. Anyone who is born of God does not sin, for God's own nature abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Do you have these two natures in you? An unbeliever, which one does he have? Does he have both?
Yeah.
An unbeliever? An unbeliever has only the evil nature. You say, wait a second, people are kind of nice out there. I have sailed with many unbelievers on my boat this week. All right, and I've witnessed to each one of them. They didn't, after I witnessed to them, slit my throat. They weren't that bad. They didn't take over the boat and have mutiny. But what was wrong was they didn't act from faith. And God calls that evil. In fact, they're fairly nice to me, but they're still under the image of the evil one because they have an evil, unbelieving heart. But what God has placed in us is a good and believing heart. And he's starting to work in us something new. Let's take a look at one more scripture about that. It says in Romans 6 that our old self was crucified in baptism, that the sinful body might be put to death, and we might rise to live a new life. And so, also in Romans 8, it says that those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into what? The image of his own Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Are y'all looking like Christ today? This is what God is after. He's going into Art, he's going into Dale, he's going into Alice, he's going into me. And he is now forming in something in you that's starting to make you look more and more every day like Christ. Because the image was lost, but now it's found. And you are being conformed every day to be made over into good. So all should be well, right? Hey, we got a new nature. We got rid of the bad. It was crucified, put to death. We're golden. It'd be nice if we could say that. But as I said before, you may be thinking, I've been in Christ for decades, and I still struggle with this idea that I'm not as good as I want to be. And when I want to do the right thing, the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life draws me in the other direction. And these two inside of us are fighting it out. Let me describe how this works. I think if you've been to the Wednesday night Bible study, you would have heard this, but if you've just come to Sundays, you wouldn't yet. It's a sermon illustration I like to use about this. From World War II. You know the movie U-571? Ever see that? Okay, it's the story of the Allies, the Americans, are going to try to get onto a German U-boat, capture it, and get the decoding machine. And so the German U-boat's crippled. And so the Americans send their U-boat out to get to the crippled U-boat first, but then the Germans send their U-boat out to try to get to it first. And they don't know the Americans are coming. The Americans take over with much violence the German U-boat through disguise. And now the old U-boat, the evil boat, if you will, is now being run by the good guys. They got a new captain aboard. Well, the old captain has been put in prison on the new U-boat, on the American boat, which is destroyed. And after a battle between the two U-boats, the good guys win. The American captain's in charge of the one remaining German U-boat. And who do they pluck out of the water as the one castaway survivor? The German U-boat captain. Now, he comes back on his old boat. This is the one he was commanding and wreaking havoc in the seas as the wolf pack. Well, he comes back aboard now no longer as captain, but as prisoner. And what's his job? Does he kick back and do nothing on his old boat? His aim and his eyes for the rest of that movie are to get his old boat back. And that's what's happening inside of you. He tries to take it over by force, and if he can't take it over by force, he taps out a code to the Nazi destroyer on the surface saying, "Destroy me, I'm U-571. Well, inside each one of you, your body is like the U-boat. It was evil. It was run by an evil captain before you came to Christ. But now it has been taken over with much violence, with much conquering by the Lord who has conquered sin, death, and the devil by his own blood, by baptism he's brought you into Christ. He's given you a new heart, a new man. There is a good guy on the throne in the captain, on the con of this body that you see before you. The good Greg, the new one who is made after the likeness of Christ. But guess what? Inside of this man, there's still the evil Greg living, the old captain, and he wants his boat back real bad. And he's fighting me tooth and nail every day. So what do? If you are fighting your old captain inside that wants to destroy you, what do? Number one, you fight. You fight. Don't you know that when you're born with Christ's nature, you are now a soldier? Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he came to conquer sin, death, and the devil for us. You are a soldier by birth. You may say, "I don't like war." All right, I don't like war either. But we're soldiers, and you're in it now, so you better fight. Okay? The second thing you do is you need to feed the good and starve the bad. There was an old American Indian once who said, "There are two dogs inside me, a good one and a bad one, and they fight it out all the time." The young Indian asked the ancient chief, "Which one wins?" The chief responds, "The one I feed more." Think about that. If you got two natures going on inside of you, the thing you got to do is feed the good and starve out the bad. Is that what you do? When I went to Jacksonville just the other week for the pastor's conference, I watched TV. And no more need be said there, right? I watched TV for a day and a half, and let me tell you, I did it as an experiment. See what's on. I haven't watched for a long, long time. It was feeding the evil inside. I mean, the pride of life is there. The glories of this world are there. The lust of the flesh, come on. I couldn't find one show that did not have suggestive stuff, right? Gabriel, he's going to come. Hey, Gabriel. All right, you're anxious to get to church, aren't you? Come on over here, buddy. Yeah, come on up. You can come up. Help me out here. All right. Here you go, pal. He's Rocket Man, right? There you go. Okay, that's good. You want to help me preach the rest of the sermon? Oh, there she is. Better run back real fast. There you go. She's got candy or something for you. See, you got to feed. How have you been fed? What are you feeding your ears? You know the rock music that's out there that's a whole lot more peppy than the Christian music? And I'll admit it's a lot more peppy and fun, but sometimes what's going into my ears is not good for me that I turn on, and that's feeding the lustful, bad flesh. What do you put before your eyes? The world is going pop, 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 putting images out in front of you all the time, whether it be on TV or internet. Man, I can't even get on the news to read just plain news anymore without some woman jumping around and dancing this way and that. I have to cover that side of the screen or quickly move the cursor down to get her up over the top so I can just read. This place is nuts that we're living in that way. But the world, the devil, is trying to feed the old one. And guess what? The old one's conquered. The old one's not, doesn't have his boat anymore. He's not in power anymore. He's in prison, but boy, does he gain strength fast if he's fed, doesn't he? You just start feeding that, and quickly he revives his strength, though he's starving it out. So what are you going to do? Remember, with your eyes, it says in the Psalms, I will not set before my eyes anything that is base. Don't put the lustful things before your eyes or the pride. Put good things before your eyes. How about your ears? Paul says in Ephesians 5 that we ought to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in our hearts to God through Christ. Is that what you do? The other day I was listening to some various rock music, whatever, I don't know what it was, but it just wasn't helping me in the car. And I just said, okay, well, I'm just going to start singing my praise to God. And it was kind of corny, my singing. But I felt good at the end of it, and my new man was fed by it. How about the Word of God? You got this before you? Could you memorize it? Could you read it? When you're doing this, faith comes from what is heard, what is seen. How about fellowship with others? How about, you come up with something. What you got to do, though, is in every instance, you got a castle here with the old evil guy in it. And you got to just cut off every supply line, bomb every train on the way in, poison the water. Don't let him eat, drink, sleep, or get any strength left in him. But on the other hand, you got the new man over here. Feed him with everything good. Love, righteousness. Setting before your mind the thoughts that are whatever is lovely, true, gracious, as he says in Philippians 4. Set your minds on things above, Paul says in Colossians 3, not on things that are on earth. And the more we do that, and the more I do that, I feel the conquering strength of Christ living in me to put to death and keep down and subdued this evil captain who I'm going to carry with me to my grave until I die. I won't be rid of him, and you won't be rid of yours. But this is the way we conquer him. And the last thing I'll say today is this, is you not only fight because you're a soldier and feed the good, starve the bad, but you seek the Lord's strength in all these things. Because, man, you can't do it yourself. But in God, we have a great Savior and a captain. As it says here in Proverbs 21, verse 31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And in Psalm 44, it says, for not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm give them victory, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, by those thou didst delight in them. In other words, we conquer by the blood of the Lamb. It's Jesus and his Spirit living in us. And I can tell you this, that as his life and his death and his resurrection has freed you and made you to be a new man, a new woman, a new person in Christ, God is going to complete what he started. And I'll conclude with this from Philippians chapter 1. I am sure that he who began a good work in you will also bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.